The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
I'm joined by Jermaine Gavin, Chelsea gold medal winner, horticulturist and all the rest of it, who is going to talk to us about Hellbrunn Palace in Salzburg in Austria.
Yeah, my friend Pete sent me WhatsApp this morning. He said, "What's your story today with Pat?" And I said, "Well, Pete, it's slight." Because
in terms of its garden, it might be slight, but yes, in terms of its story, it's not.
It's not in terms of story, and it's also a garden that must be talked about and it's worthy of a place in terms of telling a story.
But now the man we're going to talk about is Marcus Sitticus von Hohensims.
Yes.
I think.
Interesting guy. So, born to a kind of noble family in Austria. So you're talking about late 1500s, early 1600s. How they would navigate life if you came from a good family was really interesting. So his particular family were involved in the church. So he would have had uncles who were bishops and archbishops and a distant relative who was a cardinal indeed. And that's how his life was set out. He'd lost his dad in a battle at a young age when I think he was four. And then quite soon followed by his uncle. So he was brought up by scholars and other members of the family. And the way they decided to do it was to bring him back into society or make him important and get him wealth by moving him kind of politically into areas of the church.
But you could become an officer of the church or a prelate at a very early age.
By the time he was 11, he had four such positions. And those positions didn't require him to spend an awful lot of time in different cities or different areas. He'd do a couple of months, move on with a great lump of money, and he'd accumulate wealth, power, but also the network. He wasn't particularly religious at that stage.
He was nominally a prelate, he wasn't religious.
No, he was into it for the network. He would have done very well in Fianna Fáil.
Now, he went all over the place. He went to Milan, he went to Rome, he went to Bologna, he went to Ingolstadt. And
eventually he got into the orbit of the Pope, and that's what he was really aiming for. He knew the nephew of a particular Pope, and soon he was in the Vatican being given roles by the Pope.
The guy that he was friendly with was a guy called Pietro Alobrandini.
That's right.
Didn't we have a papal nuncio here called Alobrandi? Not Alobrandini, but Alobrandi.
Not in my time, Pat.
No, we did. We did indeed. Anyway, he was...
But he was the powerful nephew of Pope Clement VIII.
Okay, so this moves him into very high circles indeed.
It really does. And he was made treasurer to the Pope at that stage. So lots of money around. And then he moved easily through the refined and ambitious circle of the religious and the politicians in Rome.
And all the while, a man of, I suppose, limited means to begin with, he's accumulated a lot of cash.
A good amount of cash. Now, not as huge as some, but a good amount, and enough to kind of build his own summer palace. So he had his palace, then he wanted to build a summer palace and do whatever he wanted to do with the gardens.
Now, was he the boss of Salzburg? I mean, is that what he ended up as?
Yes. Yeah, so he ended up as the ruler of Salzburg, which is a beautiful Austrian city. He held that title from the year 1612 until his death in 1619.
Okay, he didn't last that long there, but he decided to make his mark. Now, some people might have built a cathedral or a palace. Not him.
Not him. Well, he built a palace in a way, but he built a summer palace. And what defines a summer palace or a pleasure palace is one without bedrooms. So you went there to feast or to have banquets or to hold balls or to develop gardens and to show them off.
And there was no breathalyzer on the way home.
There wasn't. That was for other people to worry about. It was all about horse and carriage then. But the thing was about this particular palace, he had been to great villas in Frascati, just outside Rome, where he'd seen incredible kind of Baroque waterworks, and he had a mischievous sense of humour. So that's what he brought with him to this idea of creating a garden. We've talked about it before. We've talked about the gardens of the Villa d'Este in Tivoli, again outside Rome, where they were almost the original Disneylands. If you were connected powerful enough, you'd be invited to these places and you would be amazed. However, in the Villa of Frascati, the guy there had to build an aqueduct 5 kilometres long to bring water in. What this guy did is that he built his palace on top of a spring.
Okay, so he had an abundant source of water and a certain amount of water pressure.
A huge amount of water pressure, and he had the means to employ the best sculptors, the best engineers, the best technicians of the day. And what he built was, it's fun, it's still going, can still be visited to this day. I've been there, and it's certainly different in terms of garden design, because very pleasant palace, nicely painted yellow, full of frescoes and beautiful inside. Inside and outside, it's packed with grottos and water tricks, and the most amazing series of mechanical theatres.
Now, the point about this is there were no pumps in those days, there was no electricity. So how did he work his water magic?
So all about water pressure. It's all about, first of all, deciding what he wanted to do. The first thing he wanted to do was to create a place that his friends and himself could dine at. So a royal table. And he built this, you know, where the vogue is for sitting outdoors now, especially since COVID, and dining sets go for great money in garden centres or whatever. This guy designed a table that would have a wine cooler at the centre. But that wine cooler was amazing because it was water from the Alps coming directly from the Alps through this spring that kept the champagne really chilled. But he would sit at the head of the table and everybody would be merry and eating the best and drinking the best and whatever. And then he'd give a signal to his steward and the steward would turn a valve. And all of a sudden, through holes in the seats, in the stone seats that all the guests were sitting on, jets of water would shoot up, hit them on the bum. And they'd look around and they were absolutely trapped because there was a sheet of water would rise right behind them. And the cardinal sitting there and the design of his seat had him dry, so he was sitting there laughing, laughing his head off. Just loved trickery.
Okay, so Disney picked up a trick or two from this guy.
Oh, absolutely. All of these. Disney picked up a trick or two in a number of different ways. Our movies did, because one of the pavilion from The Sound of Music, where Maria and Captain Von, whatever, is situated in the palace gardens now. About 100 years later, another ruler came along and he created the most amazing automata, which is a mechanical theatre filled with depictions of everyday life in Austrian towns. So you have the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, all plying their trade, carving, fantastic, making, pouring, all powered by water. In the castle itself, underneath the palace, there are incredible grottos. One has a golden crown, and you look at it, and all of a sudden it begins to rise on a jet of water. And you go in because you think you can grab this crown, and all of a sudden the water completely drops and you get splattered.
Great. You can visit this to this day.
Open every day and a wonderful place to visit.
Jim McGavin, thank you very much. Now, just finally.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.